Now, when I was a student at Southampton University and I studied electronic engineering, me and a group of friends decided to go to the Isle of Wight. And so we got up ridiculously early. It was ridiculously early, even if you weren't a student. And so we made it down to the ferry, and we got on the ferry with our bikes, because we were going to cycle across the Isle of Wight. And we were feeling very, very happy with ourselves. Everything had gone really well. And then we got off onto the Isle of Wight, and kind of trundled off. And then we came to a really, really steep hill. And we said, well, we're not going up there. So we turned round and went the other way. But the other way ended up in a dead end. And to our horror, we realized the only way to go from the ferry onto the mainland is up this steep hill. Well, that would have been bad enough. But one of our friends didn't have a bike, and so he borrowed his landlady's bike. So that was great fun teasing him riding a lady's bike. But the bike was stuck in top gear. So anything remotely kind of an incline, he'd have to get off the saddle, put all his weight onto one pedal, and then all the weight onto the other pedal, and slowly make his way up the hill. Well, we managed to make it up to the top of the hill. But then the real situation hit us. The Isle of Wight is full of hills. So it's, you go up one hill, then down the other, and then up the other. And in fact, this first hill wasn't the steepest hill. Well, we kept encouraging one another, kind of enjoying, kind of freewheeling down one, and then not enjoying going up the other one. But ultimately, we arrived at our destination, which was the town of Ryde, and we enjoyed a great meal. Now, all our difficulties that we had to face kind of made that meal kind of feel really special. In fact, we really felt like a little fellowship group, not so much maybe the Lord of the Rings Fellowship of the Ring, more like Fellowship of the Constant Hills. But what is fellowship? What does the word fellowship actually mean? Well, the Greek word is koinonia, which means kind of partnership, or what is it that we have in common? That's basically kind of fellowship. So during that cycle ride, the thing that we all had in common was we wanted to make it to this town Ryde, and we encouraged one another to do that. Now, in fact, if I wasn't part of a little group, I probably would not have got up that early that morning, let alone kind of gone up those hills. Now, some of the group were really good getting up in the morning. Some were really good at cycling. Some had really good bikes. But on that day, we all encouraged one another. We'd kind of wait at the top of the hill, usually for the guy with a bike that was stuck in top gear. As soon as he reached the top, wanting a breather, we were off again. But we encouraged him. And there we were, a little fellowship group. And that's what we're looking at this morning. Kind of the church, the early church, had this fellowship as a key part of what it meant to be the body of Christ. Now, there are kind of three parts, kind of as we read at the beginning there. They devoted themselves, firstly, to the teaching, the apostles' teaching, to the teaching of the word. They learned from God's word, studied it, and they applied it. Secondly, they prayed. The believers came together to pray. Not only did they study God's word, but they brought everything to him in prayer. They worshipped him through prayer. They desired God to speak to them through prayer. And thirdly, and this is what I'm going to focus briefly this morning, is they had fellowship. They didn't worship God in isolation. They didn't simply turn up to church on a Sunday, listen to the teaching, pray, and then leave. They had fellowship. And not just one day of the week. They kind of met up during the week. It was a gospel community. So this morning we're going to look at three aspects of what it means to have fellowship. The first is commonality. The key aspect of the fellowship of believers, what is it that they have in common? Secondly, regularity. Those in fellowship would want to meet up regularly. And then thirdly, a fellowship of believers would naturally want to praise God. So let's have a look at that first point. Commonality. The state of sharing features or attributes. Now, in Highfields and in Cateys, there's been many babies, and I can see even here, many babies being born. And one of the first things people usually say is, wow, doesn't she look like her mum? Or doesn't he look like his dad? And then as the child grows up, they say, wow, are they just like her mum or his dad? What they mean is kind of mannerisms in the way they talk, in the way they move sometimes, in the way they think, and the way that they express themselves. This sharing of features, of attributes, identifies us. There is something about us that is common to someone else. So verses 44 and 45. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property, possessions to give to anyone who had in need. So here we read that the believers had everything in common. Yes, there were physical possessions, but we're not to read here that they were forced to kind of sell their possessions as some kind of communist commune. That's not what was happening here. What was happening is that there were people who spontaneously felt that they needed to share with those that were in need. Barnabas in particular later on is kind of made reference to the fact that he did sell a field to give the money to the church. But the key point here in this passage is not what they had in common, but who they had in common. They all worshipped Jesus. They all desired to glorify God. Their foundation, their desire, their hope was the same. So in our community, in Pomprenna here, we are to be known as people who have the same common heart, as people who have the same common love for God, as people who have the same common love for their neighbor. Now, if someone who did not know Jesus was to come maybe to this congregation, to Pomprenna, to spend time with us, what would they say was our common identity? That would be a great test. It would be a challenging test. Because would we simply be known as people who are nice? Nice people, kind people, law-abiding people, church-going people? Or would we be known as people who follow Jesus? Because how else could we love one another in the way that we do? By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. John 13:35. The love that we have for God and one another results in a great desire to make God known to others. That is what links us into fellowship. And so that's the thing that has basically we have in common, which leads us to the second point, which is we are to have regular fellowship together. I was listening to a sermon by Martin Lloyd Jones the other week, a famous Welsh preacher of the 20th century. And he said something I wasn't expecting him to say regarding fellowship. And he said, I never force people to go to church. I never tell them they have to go to a church meeting. They have to come together as believers. And I thought, what? Oh, I thought I'd misheard that. And then he said, well, if the church is what it should be, then its members would want to come to be with other believers. It would be a natural desire to be with others who also follow Jesus. For someone to say that they would rather stay at home and not meet up with others would be very strange and worrying. You see, as Christians, we should have a delight, a hunger, and a longing to be with other believers. And not just to meet up, maybe once a week, but to desire fellowship, to desire community. Verse 46 says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together. Now that's not to say that we always find it easy to be with other believers, that we always get along. It might be that some of the hardest people maybe are in church. But the fellowship of believers is something very special. And because of its special nature, by default, we would want to be together. We all have hobbies, things that we enjoy doing. And if we had more time, we would do it more. I like playing board games. Loads of board games. Kind of every Christmas, every birthday on my wish list on Amazon, there's loads of board games there. And so if someone phones me and says, Roland, would you like to play board games this evening? And I'm free, I'll go. I don't say to myself on the way there, I'm doing them a favor. How good I am to be going to play board games with them tonight. No, I say, fantastic. I get to play board games. I get to spend time with friends. And quite often, there's some nice biscuits. doing something we enjoy on a regular basis is not a burden. And so, if we see regular fellowship with other believers as burdensome, then we need to ask ourselves the question, why? What is it about the fellowship of believers that is unwanted, or at the very least, less wanted than other things in our life? Now again, I'm not saying this is easy, and that all Christians should jump up and down when the opportunity for fellowship is given. But we need to remind ourselves of the life that we are living. If our lives are maybe based on money, sex and power, or whatever else is occupying our thoughts, our time, and our money other than God, then it's no surprise that anything that takes time away from that thing you enjoy doing is going to cause you frustration and ultimately resentment. So why do we meet with other believers? Because by having fellowship, we encourage one another. We support one another. We care for one another, and we spur one another on. Now, during these last few weeks, I imagine many of us have watched the Olympics there in Rio. And there have been amazing stories of sporting achievements, world records broken, medals won. But I think my favorite story that I saw was a story that involved two athletes, Nikki Hamblin from New Zealand and Abby D'Agostino from the USA. They didn't win any medals. The two athletes were competing in the qualifying heat for the 5,000 meters. And with 2,000 meters to go, Hamblin, the New Zealand athlete, she tripped and she fell. And she fell, she tripped over the American athlete. So they both fell. And the American got up, and he'd expected to keep on running, but she didn't. She turned around, and she helped Hamblin up. And then she continued, but then she fell because she really did injure her ankle. And then she fell again. And this time, the other athlete, Hamblin, she helped her up. And they kind of ran together for the rest of the race. At the end of the race, they kind of embraced. They were presented with the Fair Play Award, the only award of its type, this Olympics. You see, in the race, something happened that affected both of them. Their dream of winning an Olympic medal was shattered. 4 years of preparation gone in an instant. And even though their goal was the same, something happened that changed everything. And because of that, they were able to empathize with one another. And so they helped one another up. And the helping of one another up basically had no impact on the winning of the medal. In fact, the reverse. But it had everything to do with caring for the other person. They were able to understand and support one another because they had a common goal. Now, that goal was shattered. But our goal, however, can't be shattered. No one can take it away. It is ours. It's not a matter of if, but when we get that prize. We will be tripped up. We will be injured. We will be battered and bruised, and there will be times maybe when we hit the floor. But God has placed this with people who are running alongside us to help us up. Why would we not want to run a race with other people? Why would we want to run alone? It makes no sense. And who is it that has brought it is into fellowship with other believers? But God himself. It is his wish that we support one another. Which leads us to the third and the final point. True fellowship results not in self-promotion, but a greater desire and a delight to praise God. Now, Team GB have had an amazingly successful Olympics. They have won 27 gold medals, 23 silver medals, 17 bronze medals, a total of 67 medals. It got to the point where we were disappointed if we won silver. It's been the most successful Olympics on foreign soil. Team GP was second in the overall kind of table of medals, only behind the USA. Now, can you imagine the conversation of all the gold medal winners as they flew back? As it turned out, I looked it up, all the gold medal winners were placed in first class on the flight as they flew back this week. felt sorry for the ones that didn't win anything, probably in the luggage hold. But the gold medal winners were in first class. And can you imagine the conversations they were having, sharing all the stories of the success that they had, that all the other gold medal winners had, but also the team, how successful they had been. And can you imagine in the years to come, they will love to remind one another of that race, of that particular event. You wouldn't have to tell them to share and to be encouraged about it, because their goal was the same. Their goal was to win a gold medal. And that's what you would expect. Now, whenever a group of people have an amazing common experience or a goal, when they meet up, they'll want to talk about it. The sharing of that experience increases their enjoyment about it. And so it is with us when we think of who God is, what he has said, and what he has done. We would want to praise him when we met with other people. Verses 46 to 47 of chapter 2 says this: they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. The praising of God came from glad and sincere hearts, not some forced action or emotion. God is not interested in that. He wants us to come to him with no pretense, not pretending, as we are. Because there are times when our hearts are cold and distant from God, either because of something that has happened to us or people that we love. We are told in Scripture, and church history bears it out, that it is at exactly those times of difficulty that we're in special need of the fellowship of believers. We carry one another's burdens, Galatians 6:2. We remind one another of who God is. Because when we take our eyes off God, our desire to praise and delight in God is reduced. We need a fellowship of believers to lovingly help us refocus our eyes back on God, and to do it in a very gentle and a very loving way. Now, in the film, The Lord of the Rings, the hero, the main character, is someone called Frodo. And he has to take a ring. It's kind of an evil ring, or this evil character, Sauron's contained within it. And he has to take it to a place called Mount Doom. And he's got some friends, the Fellowship, with him. And the closer they get to Mount Doom, this ring gets heavier. Actually, physically gets heavier. And so Frodo is losing heart because of the weight of the ring, but also really bad things happen to him and his friends. What happens is, one friend in particular, his closest friend, is called Sam. And Sam, who is with him on his journey, he reminds Frodo. He reminds him of why they are doing what they are doing. The fact is, they have to destroy this ring. Because when this ring is destroyed, the evil person will be destroyed, his hold on the land will be destroyed, and they'll be able to return home to their beautiful countryside and to their loved ones. Now, Sam was able to do a lot for Frodo, if you read the books or, like me, watch the films. He was able to find him food. He was able to care for him. He was able to defend him. And actually, towards the end of the film, he actually physically carries him. But probably the key thing that Sam was able to do for Frodo was to remind him of the goal. No matter what was happening to Frodo and the others, Sam was there to keep their eyes focused on where they were going and what they would achieve. You see, the message of the Bible is actually very, very simple. God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins, to be resurrected 3 days later, and that whoever repents of this sin and follows Jesus as Lord will be saved. That's what we hold on to. That is what keeps us going. And as we remind ourselves of that truth, our hearts are warmed, and we want to praise God. But there are times, hard times, when we might not want to be reminded about what God has done for us. And it is at those times that our fellowship of believers is so important. For they would pray for us, share the truth with us,
and love us. Now, when we think maybe of a fellowship group, maybe there are those who think, oh, they're so difficult. Or maybe we ourselves feel, well, I don't think I'm wanted maybe in this particular fellowship group. And there's a lovely story in the New Testament regarding Paul. Now, in Acts, Paul and Barnabas go on a missionary journey. And it's in chapter 13. And they take John Mark with them. And John Mark messes up big time. Because quite quickly, he says, this isn't for me. And he leaves them, abandons them, and he goes back to Jerusalem. And then not long later, they go on another missionary journey. And it turns out John Mark is Barnabas' cousin. And John Mark obviously has said, really sorry, you know, please can I go with you on this one? And Barnabas' cousin says, yep, no problem. But Paul says, no way. I remember what you did last time. You abandoned us. And Barnabas, the encourager, says, come on, let's take him. And Paul says, no. And they have a massive argument. It's the only time kind of where you hear this massive argument between Paul and Barnabas, these two friends. And in the end, Paul still refuses to take John Mark. And so Paul ends up taking someone called Silas. And Barnabas on his own takes John Mark. So you think, wow, it's such a sad story. It's kind of, there's a disagreement and there's a breaking of the fellowship. But actually, something happens later on that puts it into context. Because Paul's last letter to Timothy, so he's about to be executed not long afterwards. And right at the end there, Paul is kind of saying a few things. And one of the things he says is, actually, there's someone who's not here, that please bring him here. And this is what he says in 2 Timothy 4:11. Get Mark, John Mark, and bring him with you, because he is helpful to me in my ministry. So someone who he didn't want anything to do with, over the next few years, he became very precious to Paul. It's a wonderful example, firstly, of someone who failed, John Mark, can become mightily used by God. And how Paul had misjudged John Mark, not realizing that in the years later, how important John Mark would become to him, providing great fellowship. Now, God places people around us for a reason and for a season. We don't know how long a particular person will be with us. But what we do know is that wherever we go in the world, and it's lovely to kind of hear the stories of Phil and Kath and for Hugh and Alison, wherever we are in the world, God delights to bring people around us, fellowship of believers. Believers where we share the common purpose and goal. Believers that we look forward to meeting up with regularly. And believers who help us to delight in praising God. This very day, some believers are not able to meet up regularly with other believers. They would love to be able to do so, but physically they're unable to do so. But that's not to say they don't have fellowship. They, along with us, experience fellowship with God every day, at every moment. But we're also part of their fellowship group through prayer. For when someone says, I will pray for you, that is fellowship. And then we delight even more when we do meet up with them so we can share those precious times, stories, and reminding one another of the goal of our lives, praising our all-powerful, our all-loving Creator God. And so, why is fellowship so important? Well, God knows us. He knows our strengths. He knows our weaknesses, and he knows our struggles. And he has provided a fellowship of believers around us to strengthen us, to encourage us, with the goal of delighting to praise God, to increase our peace, hope, and joy, and to want to make him known among all peoples. Because at the end of the passage, the last two lines says this, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So we have a fellowship of believers to encourage us, to spur one another on. And through that fellowship, we are able to share that message with the people that God brings into our lives. It might not be lots and lots of people, but through our lives might be one or two people. So they also can know God, and then they also can have that fellowship that we have.